When you think about the best time to go to the post office, you're probably guessing before work, after work, or during lunch. Wrong. That's when it's the most crowded. Everyone's going at that time. The truth is, there's no convenient time to go to the post office. That's why you need Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, access all the services of the post office right from your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your computer and printer. Then just hand it to your mail carrier. It's that easy. And unlike the post office, Stamps.com is open 24/7 with no lines, so you can get your mailing and shipping done whenever it's convenient for you. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer. It's a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
New numbers on Obamacare. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. Friday, May 2nd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
About 28% of people who've signed up for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act are between the ages of 18 and 34. That's not the figure officials were hoping for.
It appears the Senate will vote on the Keystone XL pipeline before the midterm elections. It could be a political blessing and a curse.
The White House is on the defensive again for a second straight day. It's facing accusations that it withheld documents regarding the terror attacks in Benghazi.
And life in a steel tube in close quarters beneath the polar ice.
The USS New Mexico was tasked to go underneath the polar ice cap this year for several weeks, conducting scientific tests and military drills. And so you had 120 sailors crammed aboard a steel tube for weeks and weeks at a time underneath the ice.
Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes spent some time on the nuclear sub USS New Mexico off Alaska. His report in about 20 minutes. Criticism for the White House over accusations that it withheld documents from a congressional investigation into the terror attacks on U.S. diplomatic posts in Benghazi, Libya. In one specific email in those documents, as we told you yesterday, Ben Rhodes, a deputy national security advisor, explained to other senior administration officials the goals of the White House's public messaging on the attack. Mr. Rhodes' list of goals included, quote, to underscore that these protests are rooted in an internet video and not a broader failure of policy. Reaction to that from House Oversight Committee Chairman Darrell Issa.
The American people have learned that you cannot believe what the White House says, you cannot believe what the spokespeople say, and you cannot believe what the president says. And the facts are coming out.
He's among Republicans seizing on the email as evidence supporting their longtime charge of a concerted White House effort to say the attack was the result of a protest, which later proved untrue in an attempt to shield President Obama from criticism during his re-election campaign. The Labor Department releases the April employment numbers today. What can we expect? Here's a preview from Patrick O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at the firm Cohn-Resnick. He's on the T-Mobile hotline from northern New Jersey. Pat, what do you expect?
We expect that the April data will be a net gain of 225,000 jobs, well above where we've been recently. We think about 215,000 of those jobs will be in the private sector, another 10 to 15,000 contributed by state and local governments as their coffers have filled up a little bit because of increased revenues relative to where we were back in the recession.
So 225,000, that's a big number. It's not where we want it to be, say above 300,000, but 225 is significant. To what goes the credit?
It's really a broadly shared credit this time around, primarily in the private sector, which is to be expected. But in the forecast we've put out, we do expect the goods producers, both manufacturing and construction, to show a fairly sizable growth relative to where they've been. On the private services side, we expect healthcare to get back in the game. That's been idle for a few months past. We expect the rest of the health of the private services components pretty much to contribute to grow, with a large increment again in temporary help, only because that's become the go-to place for employers over the course of the recovery.
All right, so if we hit 225, does that tell you that, say, for May and June, we should also be positive?
What we're looking for is actually gathering momentum going forward from here. Despite gross domestic product jump, or failure, rather, overall, the economy has definitely picked up over the past 3-4 months. Weather and some other factors did suppress the headline numbers, but we got information on consumer spending, and we had the largest month-on-month increase in consumer spending since back in the Cash for Clunkers days. So the household sector is holding up, and that's almost 70% of the economy.
We're speaking with Pat O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at CohnReznick in New Jersey. We're talking about the April unemployment numbers. That jump in consumer spending, pent-up demand, though, maybe from the nasty winter?
Pent-up demand, rising incomes. We saw a pretty good uptick in household incomes. I think also a change in mindset, that despite the slowdown because of the weather in the first quarter, households overall and businesses are now, we see this in the sentiment indicators, are now more confident about the durability of the expansion. And so they've gone from being cautious optimistic to sort of a measured confidence, where they're willing to anticipate good numbers and to act in anticipation of those good numbers rather than hedge their bets, as has been the case for most of the expansion.
Thanks, Pat. That is Pat O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at CohnReznick in New Jersey. 12 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. By the way, don't forget to find us on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. On Twitter, we use the handle at WSJ This Morning. And you can swap tweets with me at Gordon Deal. Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by ProFlowers.com. Do you want to be mom's favorite this year? Show your love with one dozen rainbow roses with a free glass vase from ProFlowers.com for just $19.99. Go bigger. Double these colorful roses, plus a free glass vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. ProFlowers are freshly picked bouquets that are perfect for Mother's Day and guaranteed to last the week. Also, ordering is easy. Pick your delivery date, and it's guaranteed to be there. Here's the only way to get this amazing Mother's Day deal. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and type in WSJ. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone and type in WSJ. This deal expires Friday at midnight. Make sure you order today. Be mom's favorite this Mother's Day with a winning bouquet from ProFlowers.com. Bad news for Obamacare. It appears insurance companies have found the excuse they need to raise your rates. Just more than a quarter of the 8 million people who signed up for health plans under the Affordable Care Act are in the prized demographic of 18 to 34 years old, falling short of the figure considered ideal to keep down policy prices. Here's the Wall Street Journal this morning's Dan Loney.
The new stats show that about 28% of the people picking plans on the state and federal insurance exchanges were 18 to 34 years old, a generally healthy group. That's significantly below the 40% level that some analysts consider important for holding down rates. Insurers right now are setting rates for 2015, and the age data will be a key factor in their decisions. The health law bars insurance companies from charging riskier consumers more, and as a result, the health plans have said they need a large number of younger people and men to sign up to balance out the likely higher medical claims incurred by older people and women. Gordon?
Thanks, Dan. Other demographic data released by the Obama administration yesterday also pointed to a more expensive enrollee mix. For instance, some 54% of enrollees were female, and the proportion of Latino enrollees, viewed as trending younger and healthier than some other groups, also was lower than anticipated. 18 minutes now after the hour. More about the fate of the proposed Keystone XL pipeline. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says he's prepared to bring a vote on it to the Senate floor, despite the Obama administration's reluctance to decide its fate during an election year. Supporters were still searching for the handful of votes needed for such a bill to pass the Senate. The Republican-controlled House strongly supports the pipeline. Among the supporters, Maryland Congressman Andy Harris, who says the delay has been hurting business. Congressman, you say this will be good for the economy.
Oh, it certainly will have a positive effect on the economy by lowering our energy prices and by our energy dependency on other countries.
All right, how so? Would that be immediate?
You know, the immediate effect would obviously be the jobs to start constructing the pipeline, but I think it would send a message to the energy world that America is serious about becoming an energy leader.
So this thing has been kicking around for 5 years?
Years.
6 years now?
I've been in Washington now 3.5 years in Congress, and it's been here since then, and it's about time we put it behind us and go ahead and build it.
All right, so who's largely responsible? I know it's been at the State Department, right, for most of that time, and there's been lots of legal challenges and lots of questions, but ultimately, who says yay or nay? Is it the president? Is it Mr. Kerry at this point, or what?
Well, you know, regardless of which department it's in, the bottom line is that the buck stops at the president's desk. The president is in charge of the executive branch, and the president could make this decision unilaterally. Pretty clearly, for political purposes, he really doesn't want to make this decision before the midterm election.
All right, so explain that. Take us behind the scenes of some of the political workings of this whole decision.
There are a couple of states that are critical to the Democrats' hopes of maintaining the Senate majority, and of course, Louisiana is one of them, and obviously a decision would affect that race and would also affect other races where environmental activist input could be critical for an election.
I know that there are some people who seem to paint this as the first pipeline ever to carry gas in the U.S., and that's obviously not the case.
Oh my gosh, we have thousands of miles of pipelines carrying far more dangerous things than crude, because that's what this pipeline would carry. It would carry the crude, of course, from the tar sands of Canada down to our refineries. So it's just ridiculous to think that this is the first pipeline ever carrying the most dangerous substance ever.
Congressman, that is Maryland Congressman Andy Harris. 21 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. It's Jobs Friday, and economists are expecting to see that at least 215,000 jobs were created for the month of April, with the jobless rate slipping to 6.6%.
That's one of the key indicators in terms of the economy, and it's been fits and starts a little bit. The employment picture's been improving, but not at quite the pace that people would like.
Andy Brooks is with T. Rowe Price. A new General Motors recall covers almost 54,000 Cadillacs. SRX crossovers are involved here. The Detroit News says a software glitch in the 2013 model could delay acceleration, but there are no reports of accidents or injuries. April auto sales were decent, with double-digit percentage gains for both Chrysler, Fiat, and Nissan. And despite the previous recalls, GM sales moved higher, but Ford sales sputtered, although truck sales were strong. And Ford named company veteran Mark Fields as its new CEO to replace Alan Mulally in July. The train that derailed in Lynchburg, Virginia this week was traveling below a new speed limit set to improve safety when carrying crude. At least 13 of the CSX train's 105 tank cars went off the tracks, sending flames and black smoke into the air. Jim Southworth is with the NTSB.
Depending on the complexity of this accident, this can take anywhere from 6 months to a year, year and a half.
He's talking about the investigation. There were no injuries. Federal inspectors had examined this stretch of track in January. The NBA has started proceedings to oust Donald Sterling as the owner of the LA Clippers for racist comments. Team owners or their representatives unanimously agreed to proceed as quickly as possible after Commissioner Adam Silver banned Sterling from the NBA and fined him $2.5 million. Microsoft is out with a fix for that big security hole in its Internet Explorer web browser, including a patch for its XP operating system, which it had recently stopped supporting. A security firm says this flaw seems to have originated in or near China. Stock futures are a little positive this morning after a mixed day, although little changed. The Dow lost 22, the S&P 500 slipped a fraction, the NASDAQ rose 13 points. There was strength in internet stocks like Facebook and Netflix. Asian markets were mixed today. Do you remember the last Triple Crown winner? This year's hopes are high for California Chrome, the favorite in tomorrow's 140th Kentucky Derby. The three-year-old has won each of his past four starts. And by the way, the last horse to win the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont was affirmed in 1978.
Man, we were just kids.
Yes.
Holy smokes. I have a soft spot for Uncle Cy in this race.
Okay.
Because
any particular reason?
Well, one, it's a clever name. And two, 10% of his purse always goes to the Wounded Warriors Project.
Oh,
so I
yeah.
like that angle,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's nice.
A soft spot for Uncle Cy. That's S-I-G-H, Cy, by the way.
All right.
24 minutes after the hour. Next, life on a nuclear submarine.
By 2025, it's estimated that half the world's population will lack access to safe drinking water. A sorry state of affairs as two-thirds of our planet is covered by water. We are helping develop solutions for salt water to satisfy the thirst of future generations. BASF, the chemical company.
Squarespace, the easiest way to create an exceptional website. Squarespace provides everything you need to create a beautiful website for you or your business, including trendy designs and unique styles. And you don't have to worry about getting stuck along the way. Squarespace has a 24/7 support team. Try Squarespace today for free. And when you're ready to go live, enter WSJ at checkout and save 10%. Plus, you get free hosting. Use promo code WSJ at squarespace.com/WSJ. Squarespace.com/WSJ. Here's a fun story we've been waiting to bring you. It's the highly regulated life aboard the nuclear submarine USS New Mexico. Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes spent time with the crew under the polar ice off the coast of Alaska. Julian set this up.
The USS New Mexico was tasked to go underneath the polar ice cap this year for several weeks, conducting scientific tests and military drills. And so you had 120 sailors crammed aboard a steel tube for weeks and weeks at a time underneath the ice. You know, there are subcultures, and then there's the culture of a sub, and it's all built up to basically keep this crew sane. I mean, this is an amazingly technologically complex and advanced piece of equipment. There's a nuclear power plant on board to create all the energy. There is a system that creates air. There's a system that creates water. The only limiting factor is food. So it's, and all of these systems require constant attention to make sure they're working.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes, who spent time on board the USS New Mexico, the nuclear submarine, which was under polar ice. So explain some of these funny rules or unusual ways of doing business.
So, you know, there's the lowest ranking officer is the ensign. There's only one of them, but they call him the Bull Ensign. And he makes up these various rules. They range from what music you can play on Friday to what would happen if, in violation of submarine etiquette, someone gives you an order at the dining table, and you can respond by hashtag optional. You know, and there was also this rule he allowed this somewhat junior officer to beat the second most junior officer at will. And you know, this is kind of like an odd couple operation. And I hope your listeners will go to the Wall Street Journal to take a look at the story of these two sailors who are quite funny in how they go around learning how to operate a nuclear submarine.
It's pretty wild stuff. Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes for the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal This Morning. Good Friday morning, May 2nd. Glad you're with us. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, new angle on missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. The April jobs report is out today, and a preview of the Kentucky Derby. That report in about 20 minutes. This music in mind. Time for a look at what's trending on Google. Zaina Aston is a Google Trends expert. She's with us live this morning. Zaina, with that cue, how about the Star Wars cast?
Yes, well, the Star Wars cast was announced with a black and white image of their first script reading, and it sent people into a tizzy about who was in the picture. It's a mix of the original cast and some new faces, which sent people searching to learn more and to find out who these new actors are as well.
Very good. All right, so George Clooney gets engaged.
Yes, his engagement to Amal Alamuddin, a British human rights lawyer, sent people to search to find out more about her, because prior to being thrust into the spotlight when they announced their engagement, she had been relatively unheard of. So people were curious to find out who she was and how she captured George Clooney's heart.
Good to know we have our priorities straight. He's 52, she's 36. What's up with that, Zaina?
I know, it's quite, well, it's actually less of an age difference than he's had in his past. So I think, you know, for someone who's had a train of you know, relatively high-profile relationships, you know, this is almost a very refreshing view on his, you know, his decision to settle down.
Wow. All right, so give me, just like off topic here, give me the women's perspective. Why does it take a hottie like Clooney that long to get married? He's had his pick for how long, right?
Well, you know, he's gone on the record saying that he would never settle down. And I think it perhaps takes the right person. Maybe that's a hopeless romantic in me. However, I think what's really lovely about this, and I think Slate had a fantastic headline, something along the lines of, you know, very intelligent British human rights lawyer from London marries an actor.
All right. Very good. Fair enough. I appreciate the perspective. Also on the list here, Prince Harry. Why is it, were his clothes on? I don't know why the people are searching for him. What's going on?
Well, he's officially single again after splitting with his girlfriend of 2 years, Cressida Bonas. So people, of course, were searching for both him and her. And maybe there's still hope for women around the world who wish to marry a royal.
Oh, boy. All right. We're speaking this morning live with Zaina Aston, Google Trends expert. Hitler's maid making some search news also.
Yes. So one of Hitler's maids during World War II opened up this week about her time working in his mountain retreat. Now, 89, she gave a rarely heard take on his personal life, you know, behind closed doors. And there are some interesting tidbits that she shared, such as his tendency to eat cake in the middle of the night and sleep into the afternoon.
And she didn't have much interaction with him, right? Did she say that?
I think not. I think, you know, the interesting, what captured people's attention and sent them to search was to find out, I guess, how much contact she had and what the details were around that, you know.
All right, and so let's finish up here. We got the 10-year anniversary of Mean Girls.
I can't go to Taco Bell. I'm on an all-carb diet. God, Karen, you are so stupid.
You're not stupid, Karen.
No, I am actually.
10 years for that, Zaina.
Yes, and the multiple quote-worthy lines still are hilarious. Tina Fey's script, you know, has stood the test of time, rather. And it's been 10 years this week. April 30th marked the 10-year anniversary, and people are still searching for the movie.
It's amazing. Was this on your radar screen 10 years ago? Was this one, like, you felt was worthy of its cult status?
Definitely. I think, you know, it's turned into a classic over the years, but at the time it was a big hit. It was back in 2004. And, you know, Lindsay Lohan was a big deal then, and people hadn't really heard of Amanda Seyfried yet.
Yeah.
Rachel McAdams, of course, was also in that film.
Oh, that's right.
You know, it was really an exciting film.
That's kind of almost feel like Lindsay Lohan was a big deal then, and she's been a big deal ever since, but for all the wrong reasons.
That's true. But right. It also launched Tina Fey's writing career, I think, to a whole new level. It took her out of the TV realm and put her into the film realm.
Yeah.
And
Amy Poehler was in that too, right? I'm not familiar with the film that much.
I don't actually remember if she was in that. I do remember it was... actually, I'm not sure. I'll have to Google that.
All right. Very good. Well, listen, you probably have the resources, right? Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Always good talking to you. Zaina Aston, Google Trends expert with us live this morning with what's trending on Google, especially the Star Wars cast, of course. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Meetings are essential to the way we work. They're an opportunity to share ideas, to problem solve. But if your team is spread out in different locations, coming together can be an impossible task unless you use GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online from anywhere at any time. It's so easy. Sign up for GoToMeeting from your computer or mobile device and launch your first meeting in seconds. Then, no matter where you are, you'll be instantly connected to your team, so you can share your screen to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, and presentations in real time. And just turn on your webcams to see each other face-to-face in HD video. It's just like meeting in person, even when you're miles apart. GoToMeeting will save you time and money, making you more productive. Start hosting your own face-to-face meetings today by signing up for your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ. Good Friday morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by Shari's Berries. Are you wondering what to get the special women in your life that you want to honor this Mother's Day? Send something sweet to that special woman who has always been sweet to you. Order giant freshly dipped strawberries from Shari's Berries, starting at $19.99, over a 40% savings, or double the berries for just $10 more. Shari's Berries are dipped in white milk and dark chocolatey goodness, topped with chocolate chips, decorative swizzle, or nuts. Don't wait long. Order now before this Mother's Day deal ends. Call 866-FRUIT-02 to order or visit berries.com. That's berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in WSJ. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and type in WSJ to order today. The deal expires Friday at midnight. Make sure you order now. Amazing Spider-Man 2 hits theaters today. It'll be a critical test for Sony Pictures and co-chairman Amy Pascal, who's head of the motion picture group. She's under pressure like never before.
It's going to be all right.
Got a clear shot. Standing by.
I don't want them shooting
me. I'm not going to shoot you. You guys, this is my buddy Max. I told you about Max. Go on! Shoot some Max! You and me.
The pressure for her started last spring when activist investor Daniel Loeb attacked Sony's entertainment operation for low profit margins and overspending. Of course, it didn't help matters when the big budget movies White House Down and After Earth both bombed. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is not only a $250 million plus swing for the fences, but it's also intended to set up at least two sequels and a trio of spin-offs that could boost the company's bottom line for years to come. Since Ms. Pascal took over the studio in 2003, Sony Pictures has released fewer movies that grossed more than $300 million worldwide than competitors. It has stood out, however, in its ability to produce solidly performing mid-budget movies like the Oscar-nominated American Hustle and comedy This Is the End. 15 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
My daughter is a handful. I've always had to keep my eye on her, but I didn't always watch out for myself. With so much noise about healthcare, I tuned it all out. With United Healthcare, I get information that matters. My individual health profile, not random statistics. They even reward me for addressing my health risks. So I'm doing fine. But she's still going to give me a heart attack.
Innovations that work for you. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Glad you could be with us. Time for a small business update, and it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Unleash the potential of your business with T-Mobile, the company that's changing the way business does wireless. There are 28 million small businesses in America that employ nearly one-third of the population. How do they see the current economy? A new survey by Allstate Insurance reveals that nearly 50% believe they will grow in the next year, and about one-quarter intend to add staff.
So they want to grow, they want to make money, and they've got to do so in a highly complex regulatory environment. The real challenge for them is they just don't have the resources available to them that the same big companies have across America.
Mike Barton, president of Allstate Business Insurance, says a big concern for small business owners is making sure they've hired the right person since turnover is costly.
Did you get the right person? Do they have the right motivation? Do they have the right training, the skill sets, and the characteristics for you and your business to help you grow?
The other top issues that cause business owners to lose sleep right now: Obamacare, confusing tax requirements, getting loans, and finding and holding on to customers. 11 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back with America's First News.
Good morning. Forecasters say a powerful storm system has finally moved into the Atlantic Ocean after unleashing record amounts of rain and causing flooding from the Gulf Coast to the Northeast. The new rains added to the water levels of streams and rivers already elevated from a tornado-generating system that killed at least 35 people in the South and Midwest. Air traffic control did not realize that Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 was missing until 17 minutes after it disappeared from civilian radar. That's according to documents from Malaysia's government. Officials also released the cargo manifest, the seating plan, and cockpit recordings.
Tower Control, Malaysian 370.
Malaysian 370, Lampu Radar, good morning. Climb flight level 250.
Morning, level 250, Malaysian 370.
Officials, according to the documents, did not launch a search until 4 hours after that plane disappeared from the radar. Well, today we get the April jobs report, and economists are predicting that at least 215,000 jobs were created in the U.S., with the unemployment rate slipping to 6.6%. U.S. stock futures, in the meantime, are a little bit positive after kind of a flat day. The Dow was down 22. The S&P 500 slipped a point, less than a point, actually. The NASDAQ fared better. It was up 13 points on the day.
We've had a lot of earnings. There's a lot of economic numbers being released. And the markets are just processing all this data that's coming out.
Andy Brooks at T. Rowe Price. We spent more than expected in March, and incomes rose in line with what was expected, but we saved less, according to a report out yesterday. Meanwhile, U.S. manufacturing activity increased in April. Investigators have declared a Hollywood studio chief dead on the second anniversary of his mysterious disappearance. 57-year-old Gavin Smith, who was with 20th Century Fox, was last seen driving away from a friend's house northwest of L.A. on May 1st of 2012, and the case remains unsolved. The local search app Foursquare is splitting into two. One app, still called Foursquare, will help you find new locales. The other one, called Swarm, is focused on checking into places. And a beloved black jaguar has died at the San Diego Zoo. The L.A. Times says the animal, named Orson, was euthanized at the age of 21 after suffering from a number of geriatric problems. Orson's age, by the way, was equivalent to that of a 90-year-old human.
All right.
We lived a nice long life.
You had a good run there, mm-hmm. Orson. Very good. All right. Thank you, Gina. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, a preview of the Kentucky Derby. Today is the Kentucky Oaks. Tomorrow, the Kentucky Derby, the 140th edition of the greatest 2 minutes in sports. Wall Street Journal reporter Pia Catton in Louisville for the races. Pia, preview the favorites for tomorrow.
Going into this Derby, California Chrome is the favorite, and he's a horse out of California, of course, as the name suggests. He's the 5-2 favorite, and he got a great position in this race, the fifth post position. So that's looking really good. The question, of course, about this horse is, has he been running against real competition, or has he been running against horses he can beat? I mean, he looks like a winner. He's been winning races very far ahead, but we'll have to see on Saturday.
So who else might be up there as they come down the back stretch with California Chrome?
One of the other horses that people are really looking at is Danza, who, of course, is named for Tony Danza. His sire was Street Boss, and the partnership decided to name him Danza because, of course, Tony Danza was in Who's the Boss. Tony Danza is 10-1, and he's close to California Chrome, and I think it's actually a pretty good matchup there.
I tend to pick horses just on what I think is my favorite name, and Opportunity was one of them. But I guess I also like Wicked Strong, who's at 8-1, not bad odds.
That's right. You and the entire state of Massachusetts and probably the entire region of New England like Wicked Strong.
Right.
So I don't know if that 8-1 is going to stick. And also, Wicked Strong pulled up pretty far outside post. So he was in number 20. He might be in 19, depending on the situation here. We're going to find that out shortly. But yeah, Wicked Strong, very popular name.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Pia Catton, who's in Louisville, Kentucky, with a preview of the Kentucky Derby. So the weather forecast and who that might favor.
The weather forecast looks like it might be a pretty clear Saturday. We're hoping that the weather kind of stays cool. Horses like a cool day. You know, the weather, whether it's really rainy or mildly rainy, sometimes these things have a major factor. But the key factor for the Kentucky Derby is that this is the first time that these horses, who are very young, these horses are hearing the sound of 150,000 people. It will be the loudest sound they've ever heard. Mm. And so you have to have a very calm horse going into the Kentucky Derby. I mean, this is always one of these things that I don't think people recognize. I mean, these are very young horses.
Yeah.
And we don't know how they can do. And that's part of what makes the Kentucky Derby so exciting.
All right, so tell us about your hat.
Well, I have a bright pink Panama-style hat. It's like a fedora. Mm-hmm. I bought it a couple of years ago, and I don't go for the big plumes and the big kind of Pringle chip on my head because you know, I'm in a press box full of very salty racing reporters, and right. So I can't come swanning in there like Scarlett O'Hara.
Thanks, Pia. Wall Street Journal reporter Pia Catton from Louisville. I like that comment. She doesn't go for the big Pringle chip on her head. It's not right in the press box. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Hi, I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business called Podlexing, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, how can you know which one will produce the best talent? Realistically, to fill the position fast and with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can do it with a single click with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com lets you post to more than 40 job sites at once. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You can screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter free right now and find out why it's been used by over 100,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of this program can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.